be here in the Lord's house once again, and I'll echo what Brother David said. I mentioned Wednesday night that the folks that I have been in contact with over and over again, just so thankful for the blessing of the Lord. Had one sister say, well, if I could just move up here, I would. I told her, well, when you get ready to do that, we'll help you out any way that we can. But what a great blessing. Just thank you for your prayers this morning, and want to ask that you would continue to pray. And I want to continue our study that we've been engaged in over the past few Sundays and ask ourselves another question this morning. We've been looking at God's Word and looking at examples from God's Word about how we should be conducting ourselves in the service to God. And a few weeks ago, we looked at Elijah, and we saw how he was an example for us as far as spending time with God daily. And we asked ourselves the question, are we spending time with our Lord daily? And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at the example of Ezra, an individual that was living in a time of oppression. He was living in a strange land. He was living in a time when many of his brethren and sisters were very complacent and very comfortable. And we asked ourselves the question, do we have a heart for God's Word? Are we striving to do God's Word? And we saw that Ezra stood out. The Bible said that he had a heart for the Word of God and to do the things of the Word of God. Well, this morning, I want us to go to Acts chapter 8, and I want us to look at an example this morning from a deacon in God's Word. And I want to ask the question, are we sharing what we believe with other people? Are we sharing our faith with other individuals? And the wonderful blessing this morning is that I'm preaching to the choir, to many that are out here this morning. That was very evident last weekend as we had many with us, and knowing many of you on a personal level, I know that that's your heart. But we have to remember, with the Word of God, even those things that we do proficiently, we have to continue to examine ourselves and continue to ever refresh ourselves in God's Word to constantly be heeding His commandments. And if you want to turn with me, we'll be in Acts chapter 8 this morning. And what we're going to see from God's Word is that He has called us as His people to share our faith, to share the Word of God with others that we have opportunity in our lives to meet with and to interact with. We're going to see from God's Word that He calls us to be evangelistic in our reaching out to other people. Now, your first impression when you hear the word evangelist might be, what? The Word of God has called me to be an evangelist? I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a very proficient speaker. I'm not a great deep theologian. Well, I want to submit unto you from God's Word this morning, He has called us all to be evangelists. You don't have to be like a Billy Graham. You know, when I think of evangelist, my mind thinks of Billy Graham and you know, his ability to speak and his ability to reach out to great audiences and great groups of people. Well, I hope that we'll see from God's Word that all of us are called to be evangelists in the kingdom of God. So I want us to look in the context of the book of Acts, and we'll read specifically from Acts chapter 8. And I pray this morning that we'll see that as God's people, we have the example set before us in His Word that we are to be ready to share Jesus Christ with others that we come into contact with. So in Acts chapter 8, we'll read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. We'll read down a little bit, then we'll skip a portion, and then we'll take up again in the latter part of Acts chapter 8. But we'll start at verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 2 says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Verse 4 says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. In verse 8 it says, there was great joy in that city. Now if you go down a little bit, you'll see we pick up again with Philip in verse 26. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. In verse 29 it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In verse 30 says, and Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read of the prophet Esaias, and sayest, understandest thou what thou readest? We'll stop there this morning, but I want us to look at the example of Stephen this morning, and I want to see that God's word supports that we as the Lord's people are to be actively engaged in sharing the good news of what Jesus Christ did for us. And it's interesting here in this passage of Scripture, we don't have one of the apostles referenced here. We don't have a pastor of a church or a minister of a gospel referenced here. But interestingly enough, we have a deacon shown as an example of one who's sharing the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's really interesting to think that there are three chapters in the book of Acts that's focused on deacons. And these are incredible men when you start digging into their example and their testimony. We see in Acts chapter 8, we see that there arises a need in the early church where men were called out to help relieve the apostles so that they could focus on the ministry of the word. And we have Stephen was one that was chosen to be a deacon, and Philip was another one, and there were others that were named there, but we see Stephen and Philip predominant in the book of Acts. And at the end of chapter 6, we see Stephen, this deacon, giving this amazing testimony of the mighty work of God, and giving this convicting message to those that would speak against what Jesus Christ had done. You know, and at the end of Acts chapter 6, the Bible speaks about this council looking steadfastly on Stephen, and the Bible says his face was as it had been the face of an angel. Here were some deacons, a deacon with the face of an angel. So when you see Brother Lee and Brother Darrell, tell them you've got the face of an angel. But what we have in Acts chapter 7, we continue with the deacon Stephen giving this amazing history of the mighty power of God in blessing his people. And at the end of Acts chapter 6, we have him pointing to Jesus Christ. He's doing the work of an evangelist and sharing what Jesus Christ has done. And we know what happens to Stephen. We read it a little bit in chapter 8. He was stoned because of his stand in the truth. And in Acts chapter 7, towards the end of that chapter, the Bible speaks about Stephen, and it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And Stephen says this, his dying words, he says, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. It says, they cried with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out of the city, and the Bible says they stoned him. And there at the very end, Stephen's final words, it says he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And it says when he had said this, he fell asleep. We have this one deacon here, Stephen, proclaiming the things of God. He's stoned because of his proclamation, and his very dying words were words to the Lord saying, "These that have stoned me, lay it not to their charge." So we have the deacons that were called out in Acts chapter 6. We have Stephen here, one of the deacons, proclaiming Jesus Christ, stoned, and he died. And we get to Acts chapter 8, and we have another deacon that is going to be an individual that shares the good news of Jesus Christ and uses the opportunities that God gives him to proclaim the Jesus Christ that died and laid down his life for our sins. And I was thinking about this past week, and again, we it's interesting, we have Stephen mentioned here. We have Philip mentioned here. Why didn't God in his infinite wisdom use the Apostle Peter in this way? Why didn't he use James or John? Well, I think the intent of the message here is that God is able to use any of his people to share the good news to his elect. He's able to use any individuals, and he uses these deacons, and specifically here, he uses Philip in an incredible way to proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, there's some discussion and there's some debate. Some people say, well, did somewhere along the way, did Philip become a minister of the gospel? Did Philip somewhere along the way become an elder, become a pastor? Well, the Word of God doesn't indicate that. But what the Word of God does indicate is that these men were called out to serve the church, and these men, as they served the church, were willing and were ready and were able to proclaim Jesus Christ. So one of the big epiphanies that I get here, first of all, I just think that they were deacons, and I think what they were doing, they were being faithful to the commandment of God's Word, following the leadership of the Spirit of God, and they were proclaiming Jesus as the Spirit of God led them. And I think they're here for us as God's people to remind us that you don't have to be an apostle to share the good things that Jesus Christ has done for you. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a pastor. And I think what we're going to see in God's Word is that God uses all of his children in different scenarios, in different situations. He provides opportunities for us to share Jesus Christ our Lord with those within our sphere of influence. So we see here, Philip comes on the scene, and we see as we go to Acts chapter 8, after all of this had happened, they had the funeral of Stephen. They were lamenting the loss of the deacon Stephen, and the church, this was the first time recorded in the book of Acts that a follower of Christ was martyred for the cause, and the church scattered. And, you know, I want you to see here that even in the midst of dark situations, God is still able to bless. And as God's people, we should still be willing to serve him, even in the midst of difficulties and persecutions. Going back to Acts chapter 8, verse 4, speaking of the church, it says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad," does it say they all went into hiding and secluded themselves for the remainder of their lives? No, it says that they that were scattered abroad, this points to the troubles and the intense difficulty that they lived in. It says they were scattered, and what did they do as they were scattered? They said they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then in verse 5 specifically, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." I think it helps for us to understand what the definition of preaching is here. You know, what Brother David and I and Brother Jay and others from this pulpit try to do, we try to preach God's Word, but I want you to understand there is also a preaching of God's Word that should go on in all of our lives as we leave this place. And the literal definition of the word preach is to proclaim, is to pronounce something openly, is to publish something, is to proclaim something that's been done. And I want you to understand, in a broad sense, that's what we're all supposed to be doing. And the word literally means a herald or a town crier. In ancient times, they would have a town crier that would proclaim important news to the city. Basically, what we have the church scattered, but we see that they are continuing to be faithful and proclaiming the things of Jesus Christ. And I want to submit unto you, that's a ministry that all of us are called into. Not all of us are called into the ministry of being a pastor of a church or being an elder, in the sense of standing from the pulpit and proclaiming the things of God. But I think we all in our lives have the opportunity to proclaim the things of Jesus Christ. And here we have Philip. Philip was one of those that scattered. They had to leave town because the persecution got so great. If you can picture in your mind, you had Saul before his conversion, and the Bible says that he was just wreaking havoc upon the church. I mean, the picture I get in my mind is like the Gestapo knocking on the doors of hapless citizens, and if they were enemies of the state, pulling them out and imprisoning them and their lives being put in danger. That was the lives these people lived, and they scattered. It was a trying time. But what happened? We see those that were scattered, and specifically we see Philip here. He continued to preach Christ unto the people. My friends, we live in dark times. We live in times, I don't know about you, but I was so lifted up from the meeting this past weekend. But as I told the folks, it's Wednesday evening, Monday morning smacked me in the face pretty quick. And it wasn't just that I spilled coffee on my shirt, but just the darkness of this world confronted me right when I got into work on Monday morning, and it just continued. My friends, I'm thankful that in the dark world that we live in today, we still have a great God, and we still have the ability to proclaim Christ and what He's done for us in spite of what's going on in this world. And Philip proclaimed openly Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that the situations that we find ourselves here in this world should not discourage us, should not stop us from proclaiming the good things that the Lord has done for us. You know, my friends, we should even more so be doing the work of an evangelist and shining the spotlight on Jesus Christ, because we indeed live in a dark world. But the good news is, the darker the world gets, the more intense the darkness of the world, the more the light shines as far as what Jesus Christ has done for us and done for His people. So we shouldn't be situational Christians. You know, proclaim Christ when everything's going well, when we're not suffering, when we're not going through persecution. But I think what we see here is an increased zeal to do the things of God, to proclaim Jesus Christ as times got tough for them. I want you to understand as well, as we see God's word here, I want you to understand God is able to use any of His people to minister unto others of His children. God is able to use any of us and being an encouragement, being an influence, being a positive light in the lives of His elect. And I believe we see that here with Philip. What we have here is God commanding Philip and Philip obeying God. Why didn't God call the Apostle Peter here at this time to do this work? Why didn't he call James or John? Why didn't he call some of those other close followers of Jesus Christ during that time? Because he called Philip, because this was a work that he wanted Philip to do. In verse 26, you just fast forward it down a little bit in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says this, "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And it says, Philip arose and went." You may be saying this morning, well, if an angel tells me to go and speak to somebody, I will. Well, I want to tell you this morning, we've got a better confirmation than an angel speaking to us this morning. Do you understand that? You say, well, what is greater than an angel speaking to us? Well, I'll give you a little bit of hint. You're looking at it. God has given us His Word that commands us to go out and share what great things Jesus Christ has done for us. And this Word is better than the word of an angel. And that we need to understand that as God's people, that He's given us this more sure word of prophecy. And here, Philip, he does not hesitate when God gives the word to him. You know, the way that he reacted to that angel is the way that we ought to be reacting to God's word. And I tell you, God is able to use any of His people. We as God's people, we need to be ready to hear. We need to be ready to listen unto Him. We need to be ready when the Spirit of God burdens us and when the Word of God convicts us, we need to be ready to hear. And He was very specific here with Philip. He says, you arise. You know, Philip had already been preaching the things concerning Jesus Christ to large groups in Samaria. But now he speaks and says, Philip, you get up. He gets real specific. You go south, he says, down south into the way that goeth down into Jerusalem, go unto Gaza, and go into the desert. And he gets more specific here as we see this Ethiopian eunuch there, and the angel, the spirit says unto Philip, then you go and you join yourself to his chariot. And what does Philip do? It says Philip ran thither to him. Don't be waiting for the angel of the Lord to speak to you. More than likely, an angel of the Lord's not going to speak to you. Is an angel of the Lord able to speak to you? Yeah, I won't dismiss it, but more than likely, an angel of the Lord won't. But God has indeed given us His Word, which commands us. He's given us what the Word of God calls this more sure word of prophecy. And I want to tell you, He is able to use any of you to minister and encourage and shine a spotlight on Jesus Christ to others of His children. None of us are exempt. It's not just the preacher's job. We see here these deacons, they're faithful to do this. But it's not just the deacon's job. It's all of us as God's people. May I ask the question this morning, how can God use me? My life is just a mess. I'm not a deep scriptorian. I'm not a great theologian. I'm not well spoken. I'm new to the church. I'm too young. I'm too old. Well, I want to tell you, our God is able to bless in the most difficult circumstances. Our God is able to bless wherever we are in our lives. Why? Because He's the God over all and the God that knows all. And He's the one that's able to make up where our deficits are. And that's what we have here. We have this church. It was scattered, but they were scattered all throughout this area. Saul was making havoc upon the church, but we see that they that were scattered abroad, they were preaching the word, and we have here Philip preaching Christ unto them. Well, how was all of this going on? Well, it's because God was blessing. God was blessing in an incredible way. And it's interesting when you just think about the situation that was happening. They were scattered out of Jerusalem. And, well, what happened when they scattered out of Jerusalem? Well, God blessed, and the Word of God expanded out of that small centralized area to a broader part of that region in and around Jerusalem. Well, where did they go when they were scattered from Jerusalem? Well, we read it in here. They went to Samaria. This was an area that was not the religious center that Jerusalem was. This was a mishmash of people that had intermarried and cultures had interwoven for years and years and years. But God had a people there. And you notice how God blessed there was this terrible circumstance and this tragedy that had gone on in Jerusalem, but God in His sovereignty was able to bless, and in spite of the difficulties going on in Jerusalem, there was a blessing in Samaria, and there was a an awakening, if you will, because of the blessing of God here in this area. And folks were believing what was being told to them, believing what was being preached, and we have this great explosion of devotion for the Lord. You know, it got to be such an amazing thing. We read in Acts chapter 8, we didn't read this, but you read in verse 14 that the Lord is blessing. Word gets back to the apostles, and the apostles, they send their big dogs down to Samaria to check this out and see what was going on, and indeed, God was blessing. I want you to understand, you may think, well, my life is just a mess. I don't have the ability to minister unto others. I really don't have a great testimony to share with other people. I'm too young. I'm too old. Well, God is able to bless whatever the circumstances may be. But what we need to remember, He has called us as His people to be lights and testimonies unto His goodness. And we see that. And I tell you, God can use the circumstances of our lives in ways that we can't imagine to bring glory unto His name. So we see step one in there. Philip goes and preaches Jesus Christ. There's this great, great revival in Samaria. Folks are starting to follow the Lord. The Spirit of God comes down, and we see the church established there in Samaria. And then we see the second part that I just read. God's going to use Philip in another way then. Now you think about this. There was this great growth in Samaria. Many people committing themselves to the service of the Lord and the church expanding, the church exploding there. And we really kind of see a shifting of gears here when we go back to what we read at the latter part of Acts chapter 8. We see here Philip coming in on the scene once again. And the Bible says, the Lord spake unto Philip, verse 26, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. So again, the Lord speaks here, or the angel of the Lord speaks here to Philip, and he says, now you leave this big work that's going on here. You leave this area where you have this explosion of folks that are desirous and zealous for the things of God. Now he says, you're going to go and you're going to meet this one man. And I want you to understand that. There's, God, when we think about proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ in our lives, when we think of it within the context of being an evangelist, sometimes we think about it involving great crowds and great fanfare and just a lot of noise, a lot of things going on around it. But I want you to understand, there are times when God calls us in the work of evangelism to go and to minister to just one person. Some people think, well, if you're just going to impact and influence one person, that's not really evangelism. Well, the Word of God tells us that it is. And I want you to understand, God is just as concerned with one of His little sheep as He is the 99 as well. And we have here, Philip doesn't say, well, wait a minute, I can't neglect this big work that's going on over here. No, Philip runs and does what the Lord says unto him. He does this. Again, we never see Philip saying, "Well, I'm just a deacon. I'm not qualified to do it. I'm not one of the apostles. I'm not one of the big dogs." No, he's faithful and he does it. And I want you to understand as well, you as a child of God, if you have the Spirit of God, you're equipped to minister and do the work of an evangelist, be it with 10 people, 100 people, or if God calls you to one person. And my experience is that the way God usually works, it is a person-to-person interaction that is generally used to encourage and to proclaim the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lots of money has been spent on trying to figure out how to grow churches. How to reach out to have more people come into the church. There's been just probably millions and millions of dollars poured into how can we get more seats into pews. In the general sense, that's happened. Are we to expand the programs that we have? Some people say, well, we need to expand the programming to reach out to the masses. Some people say, well, we need to increase our media presence. We need to be on television. We need to increase our social media influence. We need to do this. We need to do that. You know, and all the money that's been spent in trying to figure all of that stuff out, what they have figured out is that the most effective evangelistic tool is one person sharing what Jesus Christ has done with them to another person and building that relationship. Those are the people that generally come into church. Now, in the sense of the truth of God's word, it's simply one child of God telling another child of God that's seeking the truth what the Lord has done for them, their experience. My friends, that does not cost us anything. You do not have to be a Billy Graham and be a great orator to do that. You just have to be obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You are equipped. Jesus Christ said that you're equipped. You don't believe me? Believe Jesus. John chapter 14. He's speaking to his apostles. You know, he's preparing them because he's about to go lay down his life for them and his people. John chapter 14, notice what he says, just verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We have a very practical lesson here. You love me, do what I've told you to do. And I will pray, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. What is that other comforter? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What Jesus is saying is I'm about to go, but you're not going to be left alone. What is he talking about here? Well, go down a little bit more in verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't our God good? You know, he did not, you know, we weren't forsaken when he laid down his life on the cross and died for our sins. We were not left all alone. We have the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And Jesus says the Spirit of God is our comforter. This Spirit of God is the one that's within us that empowers and enables us to proclaim the great things that God has done for us. He says, the Father will send him in my name, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, this isn't talking about just some mystical experience that we go through. Some preachers have thought, well, I don't need to study. I don't need to be into God's Word because God will just pour it through me like a funnel. And he's not talking about that. You know, we don't get the Word of God by osmosis. But what it says is the Spirit of God will bless us. And as we go out and serve Him, as we study the Word of God and try to share it and apply it, we've got the Spirit of God that overcomes our deficiencies and overcomes our weakness. We have that Comforter. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sean Hannity didn't coin that term. Jesus Christ did. And the message this morning is God's people, you're concerned that you're not equipped to minister to another individual about the things concerning Jesus Christ. You don't feel like you're smart enough. You don't feel like you're articulate enough. Let not your heart be troubled. You've got the Spirit of God dwelling within you that's able to overcome any deficiencies that you might have. I'm thankful for that. If I didn't believe the Spirit of God was able to overcome all of my deficiencies, I wouldn't stand from this pulpit. God is able to bless. And he's able to use us that are not equipped. Even the greatest of men, even the most studied men are still dependent upon God's Word because they are at the very best still men. We're all messes to varying degrees and intensity, but I want you to understand God is able to bless. I want you to understand this as well very quickly. I'm thankful that as we share Jesus Christ with others and we try to minister to others with the things concerning Jesus Christ, that God blesses and God is sovereignly working and acting as we're faithfully going forward and trying to serve Him. And that's incredible. We go again to the latter part of the book of Acts, and we see what happens here. And he arose, this is Philip, and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship. Now, was it just luck that this eunuch was in Jerusalem? This eunuch was there, and I believe that he was on this spiritual journey, if you will. Was it just an accident that Philip was there and that eunuch was there? No, I believe that God was blessing. And I'm thankful that we understand from God's word that He is sovereign and He is acting in the lives of His children. Have you ever just thought about what was going on here? This guy wasn't just going to Disney World. Yeah, from what I can tell, he really wasn't on any official business. This was an African. Ethiopia is in Africa. We understand that. This was a man that was probably, if I'm estimating correctly, some 1,200 miles away from home. And I submit unto you, this is a man that the Lord had already worked in his heart. Because who's going, how did they travel? I guess they travel in some sort of cart and wagon or maybe, you know, chariot or something like that. I mean, this wasn't a man that was just on some religious educational experience. This was a man that was on a spiritual journey. You know, if he wanted religion, there was religion aplenty in the area where he lived. You know, traveling from Ethiopia, he would have passed all of these great so-called wonders of the world as far as religious sites. You know, he likely could have passed through the Valley of the Kings through Egypt. He could have gone through where the Temple of Luxor is, and the Temple of Karnak, he would have been there. That was all religious sites. He'd have passed through the Valley of the Kings where all of those so-called deified kings were buried. He would have seen the great Sphinx and the pyramids. This wasn't a man that was just on some sort of religious pilgrimage. This was a man seeking out the true and the living God. Now, did he come to that point by accident? Did he come to that point just from his own rational thinking, his own study, of his own accord? No, this was a man that the Spirit of God had already touched his heart. And I believe that he was seeking the true and the living God. You know, my friends, when the Spirit of God quickens one of His children, just the mere man-made religions of the world is not going to satisfy the need. But here was a man that was seeking out the Lord. Here we go to going back to the latter part of Acts chapter. He came to Jerusalem to worship. I think this was a man that he didn't have a lot of biblical understanding, but the Lord had worked on his heart, and he was doing the best he could to get to where he could get some truth. And I believe that was the Spirit of God working and burdening this man. We read in verse 28 of Acts chapter 8 that when he was returning, he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Esaias the prophet. Now here's something to think about. We won't spend a lot of time. How on earth did this man get a scroll of a part of the book of Isaiah? You know, they just weren't giving those away at Walmart. You couldn't go on Amazon and buy a scroll of the book of Isaiah during those times. How did he get that? I don't know, but he had it. This wasn't common knowledge, but he was there reading. I think the Lord was working on the eunuch's end. But I want you to see as well, you know, the Lord was working on Philip's end as well. Because the Spirit was speaking to Philip. Go and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran to him. And, you know, look at this circumstance. Not only did this guy have this scroll, he was reading it out loud. Philip heard what he was reading. Philip questioned him, did you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up there and sit with him. And what did
Philip do? What did this deacon do? He went and told him about Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is evangelism. Sometimes we think about evangelism as being something scripted that we have to do, or something that's awkward, something that's uncomfortable, something that's forced. No, God blesses on both ends, and when we're sharing what great things Jesus has done for us, it's not something that should be forced. It's not something that should be awkward. It should occur in the scope of our influence in this world, and God blessed in an incredible way. This deacon, you say, well, why did he use this deacon? Why did he use Philip? Well, that's because God wanted to use him. And I think about in our own lives, you know, God understands our unique situations. God is sovereign. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And I want you to understand, sometimes an individual needs to not be ministered to by the great theologian, by the deep scriptorian. Sometimes one of God's children needs ministered to by maybe a deacon, or maybe a truck driver, maybe a stay-at-home mom, maybe a school teacher. All of us as God's children, He's blessed us with His Spirit, and we need to be willing to see the doors that God has put before us and use what God has given us in serving and honoring Him. And it's not about big crowds and large numbers. It's not about just gravitating towards people you're the most comfortable with. It's about following the leadership of the Spirit of God. The eunuch was, I believe, following the Spirit of God and the journey that he was taking. Philip was following the leadership of the Spirit of God that spoke to him and said, go speak to this man. And understand that when that happens, you know, a lot of times God will call us out of our comfort zone. Have you ever thought about this? Here was a man that is, you know, from the Jewish standard was, you know, should have been avoided at all costs because of who he was. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. First of all, he was black. He was African. He was a eunuch. All of those things right there would disqualify him from really having any kind of experience in the Jewish religion or in the temple at all. Here's this guy from Africa. He's a pagan, and he was a eunuch. That meant that physically he was not physically whole. They would have disqualified him, and we won't even get into him being a politician. he kept the treasury there of Ethiopia. He was in a high political office, and you know, just as opposite of as he could be to the deacon Philip, but he followed the leadership of the Lord, and he went to this man. You know, our issues don't pose a problem to God. You know, either us feeling like we're not qualified to minister, or even as us being the ones that are receiving the ministry, God is able to bless and overcome all. My friends, sin divided, but the cross united us as God's people, as God's children. And I am so thankful for that. We see this interaction occur, and here was a man that was, Jesus was proclaimed unto him, one of God's children. He was obedient unto what God had called him to do, and same as what we're called to do today. If we believe that Jesus Christ died for us and is our Savior, we ought to repent and be baptized and take up our cross and follow after Him. This man responded to that. He did that, and the Bible said that he went away rejoicing. All because here was a deacon, here was a man, here was an individual not unlike we are, willing to share the great things God had shown him, the great things that God had done for him, and we have here an individual that was converted to the truth. Very simply stated, evangelism is this. It's bringing the good tidings of what Jesus Christ has done for His people. Don't have to overcomplicate it. We spent about an hour building up to this, but very simply, it's sharing the good news. I think there's three times that evangelist in some form is used in God's Word. Twice it's used to speak about Philip. Towards the end of in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21, we see Paul staying in the house of Philip the evangelist. And really that descriptor was, here was Philip, a man that announced the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't take me very long to think about what good things Christ has done for me. Does it you? You don't have to have years of experience in reading and studying God's Word to tell someone about the good things God has done for you. Now, we should be students of God's Word. We should try to grow in our understanding of God's Word. We've seen that in other places in Scripture. But as God's people, He's equipped us to share with others that we come into contact with what a great God we serve. And I think today, you know, in the dark world that we live in today, it's even more needful maybe than during the time when Philip was going forth and preaching Jesus to the eunuch. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where there are many people who have very little to celebrate as they live their lives. I deal with it on a regular basis. Individuals that have no joy and no happiness in their lives. And because of the culture, I believe that there are many of God's people who have not been blessed to see the wonderful joy and the peace that comes with understanding Jesus Christ was the one who stood in our stead and paid our sin debt. And He's on His throne and He's ruling and He's reigning today. I think we have individuals today like the Ethiopian eunuch that are out there, and they're trying to seek the truth. They're trying to grasp the truth the best way that they can. And this world keeps smacking them down, and they keep suffering the effects of this dark world. My friends, may we be the light of this world and be ready to show God's people the truth that we serve a risen Savior that's on His throne. And no matter what happens in this world, this world is not our home. That's where true joy comes from. I pray the Lord would add His blessing.
Let's turn to hymn number 132. 132.